I know y'all are only going to stay about 30 minutes, so I'll be here by myself, okay? No, it's not that long. It just seems like it is. Johnny came up this morning and did the Pharaoh thing on me again. Said, hey, Pharaoh, I'm telling you, just, you know. And then he said the thing, let my people go. I got to find something to get him on. I don't know what it's going to be. I wait till after the tractor pull, and he'll be so tired he won't even know. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And if you're visiting here, we appreciate you coming and being with us. Want you to know that you're an honored guest here. We enjoy visitors. We have several with us today. We enjoy our members being here too. We've still got several that are out doing some traveling with the summer. That's going to come to an end in a few weeks because school will start back and everybody will have to get back in those things. Sorry I mentioned that to y'all, but, you know, it's just a part of life. I hope you're getting ready to hear a good sermon today. I was preaching this morning in the Bible class and didn't even move my mouth. They must have hit the wrong thing, and I was preaching, and I thought, boy, that guy sounds so good. Whoa. It was just a delusion. Don't worry about it. I want us to look today at a man named Caleb. Caleb was a man of God. He was a man of courage. He was a man of optimism, and we need that today. We're so discouraged in this world. If you've noticed the world we're living in, people like to hear bad things. I went by Walmart this morning, and those magazines they got over there, it's about this one, is something happened to this person and that person, how terrible things are going to be for them and all. And you go, you know, can't you boys come up with something else? It seems like nowadays, if it's something good, it's ignored. And we need to hear that. Caleb was a man like that. I don't think people have changed from the beginning of time. People are the same. And as I've mentioned before, I think more preachers need to study sociology, how people live and how to deal with people. I think it would help them and the people they're dealing with today. We can look back at the past and see those people there. We see Caleb and Joshua as they stood up for God, as they stood up and said, we are God's people. We can take this promised land. You know the story. Joshua and Caleb and 12 other people were sent out to be spies, to go out and spy the land. The children of Israel had left Egypt. They had come up and they were ready to cross over. It was just a matter of moments. In fact, they could look and they could see the promised land over there for them. And it was something that God had promised them. God had said, it's yours. God makes promises to us. What we've got to do is to be able not just to see it with a physical eye, but see it with a spiritual eye and see those things that are there. Most people, like people of the past, we look at the bad part, not the good part. And so we want to look at Caleb today and see what kind of man he was, and hopefully that will encourage us to be a better person in the way we look at things. So it's important that we recognize this. And now, in Numbers, he was talking here about the children of Israel, that they had gone and were ready to go in. In Numbers 14 and verse 24 that was read in your hearing a while ago, there's just a couple of things I want to mention about that. He was a man who he had a different spirit in him. It was different than most of the people. If you've got a spirit of optimism within you, it's different than most people. Most people can see the problems. They can see the difficulties. And the first words out of their mouth is, I can't. Don't say that first. Realize that with God's help, you can do a lot of things you don't think you can do. With God being with you, you can accomplish great things for God, and you can show the world how great God really is. And that's what we need. He said not only does he have this different kind of spirit in him, he was the one who he has followed me, God says. He's followed me fully. He was committed to God, he was dedicated to God, and he was going to follow whatever God had. He could see the good things. He could see what needed to be done. Now, Joshua was also that way, but Caleb was one who we don't talk about that much, but if you read about Caleb, you'll love Caleb. You'll love what he's trying to do and what he's trying to accomplish. So here Caleb is, if I can say it right. is a person who wants to serve God. He had a different kind of spirit. He was one who he had a God-trusting spirit in him. Now, do you have that kind of spirit in you? To where you're going to believe what God says. And you're going to be willing to say, that's what God says and I'm going to believe it no matter what. I'm going to be willing to follow that no matter what. You see, Joshua and Caleb, they saw the big picture. They saw the problems. Sometimes, have you ever seen anybody that's got this kind of Pollyannic attitude where they don't see any of the problems at all? They just see what good things are going to be, how lofty it's going to be. Let me tell you something. A person that is right and trying to do what's good and is going to help people is one that not only sees the good, but he can see the bad. He not only sees what can be, but he sees what is there because you've got to deal with that. A positive person has to deal with the negative things in this world too. If you don't do that, then you're not going to be the kind of person God wants you to be. You're not going to be that person of optimism that God wants you to be. And I'm not just talking about this optimism where we think that everything's okay, but it's where we trust in God and we depend upon Him. Caleb was a man who depended upon God. He trusted in God. He trusted in Him so much that he was willing to do what God said. He was one that saw how small the problems were because he realized how big God was. How big God was. Is there any problem that God cannot handle? Now, some people would say yes. Well, we've got to understand God doesn't always handle the problems like we think they should be dealt with. Sometimes God deals with those problems in a different way. And we think it's because of His weakness, but it's not. It's because we're not thinking like God. Caleb was a man who thought like God. He was a man who had a spirit like God. In Psalms 40 and verse 4, listen to what the psalmist said. He said, happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. Now, why are we happy if we trust in the Lord? We're happy because we don't have to worry about all those things that we think of that are going to happen. All the difficulties we're going to have to face in life. We don't have to worry about those things. Well, we've got a God that we can trust in and we can depend on. That's the reason that the children of God can see those difficulties and they can still smile about them. They can see the problems and they can see how that they can overcome those things. And if they don't overcome those things, they're still there serving God and doing the will of God. Doing what God wants them to do. Having that kind of spirit within them. And he was one who had a very optimistic spirit. We've already mentioned that. And we'll mention it again because I want you to see that. It's a decision that we make. We can make a decision to be discouraged or we can make a decision that we're going to do our best to overcome whatever we've got to overcome. And we put the trust in God. We put the dependence upon God. He was one who had tremendous opportunities before him. Tremendous things that he could do. Now, listen to this. If you open to Numbers, turn to chapter 13 and verse 30. And this is about Caleb here. Now, I want you to get the picture of this, and I don't know exactly how it is, but I want to think that all these people are gathered there, and they have, the spies have already told, the ten have already told, we can't take this land. Those people over there are giants. We're just grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can do that. And Joshua and Caleb speak, and now it's Caleb's time to speak. And all these people, you know, it's just like anything, any crowd you get together, when you bring up something controversial, people start talking over here and people start talking over here, people start talking over there. You can't hear what's being said. And he gets up and he quiets those people. He says, hush, be quiet for just a minute. Listen to what I got to say. I want you to hear this and look at what he has to say. Let us go up at once and take possession. Let us go take this land that God has promised that He's going to give to us. For we are well able to overcome it. We're able to get this land. It's something we can do. And He's trying to tell these people. Now the majority of the people there are saying it can't be done. The minority is saying, listen, with God's help we can do it. And that's the problem. The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, a part of the reason for their going into that land was their coming out of that land. and they needed to learn to trust in God. Now, some have suggested that there were probably at least 1 million people that were coming out of the land of Egypt. How much water could they drink in a day? How much food did they need in a day to be able to survive? We're not talking about just going through and maybe you've got a little garden and you're going to pick some beans and you're going to pick this and you're going to pick that and you can do that. You're talking about truckloads of food. Where was that coming from? How were they going to get it? How could they get food? How could they get water? Where was it going to come from? What about, we're out here in the middle of the desert and my shoes wear out. What am I going to do then? My clothes wear out. What am I going to do then? Look at what God did to them. God gave them the water they needed to drink. God gave them the food they needed to eat. He said, your shoes are not going to wear out. Your clothes are not going to wear out. Why was he doing all that? What was the purpose of that? It was so that these people could learn to trust in God. Now you think about all the things that happened to you in your life, and maybe not all of it has gone like you wanted it to. There have been some problems. There have been difficulties. All of us have that. There's not a person here that hadn't had problems in their life. But how do we overcome that? How can we deal with that? We've got to learn to trust in God. We've got to learn to put our faith in God. These people, that's what they needed to learn. Their purpose and going through the wilderness and walking through that was to trust in God. They got there, they were ready to go in, but the people did not want to go in. They didn't have faith enough in God. Just think about it. These people didn't have but just a short way to go, and they would be in the promised land that God would give them. And God said, listen, you're going to go into houses you didn't build. You're going to go into vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to go in there, and you're going to have all these things because I'm going to give it to you. Those people that are there, they'll leave. And if they don't leave, God said, I'll deal with them. They had it. Why didn't they go in? Are we much different than those people? Is there any difference between us and them? We've got what God wants to do. Are we willing to stand up and say, we're going to do that? We're going to accomplish that? Or are we afraid and we don't know and we're not sure about all this? We've got to be sure about it. We've got to be so sure about it, we're willing to see the opportunities that are before us. We need to see the things before us. That's what Caleb was trying to do. He was trying to see the things, and he did see the things. He could see himself in that land of promise. He could see himself and his family there. He could understand how his family was going to be there because he saw God's will. He was willing to follow the will of God and do what God wanted him to do. Now, look at this. He followed God fully. Now, we mentioned this a while ago. He followed God. What is it to follow God fully? What does it mean when it says here, he followed God fully? And here we see in verse 24 here, it said he did that. What is it? What is it? It is being willing to listen to what God says and to do what God says. It is depending on God. Now, let me tell you something. It's not easy to do that. Because in our physical minds, we're saying it can't happen. It won't work. But what we've got to do is to realize with us, it may not work. But with God, it can work. And we can do those things that need to be done. He had a heart that was with God. He had a heart that wanted to do what God wanted to do. He had a heart that said, God, I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? Remember the words of Mary when the voice spoke to her? I'm your handmaiden. I'm your servant. You read Paul's letters, and in many of his letters, that's one of the first things he said, I'm a servant of God. I serve God. That's what fully is. That's what this idea of having this being fully in God and fully a part of God. Now, listen to 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. The Lord searches. The Lord is looking. Now, we talk about how that the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Listen to this one now. This is the opposite side of that. The Lord searches all the earth for people who have given themselves completely to him. Full. He's looking for those people. And what will he do for those people? What he wants to do for those people, he wants to make them strong. Can you get the picture of God walking the earth, wanting to find people that are trying to do his will, and he's strengthening them up? He's helping them to be able to do that. You say, well, you talk about that, but where are those people at? They're sitting in the pew here. They're sitting in the pew here. We've got to be those people that we're willing to put our trust and our dependence upon God, that we've got to constantly be willing to be there and do the will of God. That's what it means. And so here's God walking the earth just like the devil does, but he's walking the earth trying to help those people that want to do right, that want to do good, and he's behind them. He's not behind them. He's with them. He's holding their hand. Do you realize that God's with you? Do you realize that the God of this book is with you? Caleb was a man who understood that. And he was willing to tell those people, with God's help, we can do it. Let's go up right now and conquer that land. Let's not wait. Let's not think about it. You know, there's times to think. There's times to plan. But there's time to set up and let's say, let's get it done and let's go. Sometimes we can sit and think of all the problems and all the difficulties so long that we can talk ourselves out of it before we even start. Well, this could happen and that could happen. It could be this way. It could be that. Oh, forget that. Go do it. Just go get it done. Go accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Don't let that happen there. Don't just give it up. Listen to this. Amaziah, who was one of the kings of Judah, said these words, or it was said of him. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that great? He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did what he needed to do. But now listen to the other part of it. He said, but not with a loyal heart. Was he obeying the commands? Yes. Was he doing what God wanted him to do? Yes. Was there any benefit in that for him? No. Even though he was obeying the commands, his heart wasn't in that. Brethren, our religion is more than just actions. It's more than just rituals that we do. And we need to be people that we remember what we're doing. We think about that. We talk about that in the Lord's Supper because it's written across the front. Remember. Let me tell you something. We need to remember the singing's going to God. We need to remember the giving's going to God. We need to remember the praise going to God. We need to remember all those things that God is gathered with us and we're a part of God and God is a part of us. That He's walking with us. Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones. No, we're not. One of the prophets one time said, I'm the only one. He said, no, I've still got more than just you. That they believe in me and they're trying to follow me. And God's with you. God's on your side. I want you to understand today that the God of heaven is on your side. He's living and trusting and believing in you. That he's one that we're just not obeying the commands that he's given, but it's something of the heart that we're doing. We enjoy what we're doing. We enjoy our worship. We enjoy our service to God. We enjoy studying the Bible. It's a matter of attitude. You know, if you say, I don't want to do it, is it going to be hard? Yep, sure will. Are you going to be able to do it? Well, you can do it, but it really doesn't mean that much. We can do a lot of things, but we got to have our heart in it. That's what Caleb had. He had his heart in this, and he was willing to do that. Caleb was a man of action. He was a man of accomplishing things, no matter what. He viewed this thing of God's on my side, and we can do it. And we don't need to quit. We don't need to stop. We don't need to not do it. It's not just that we're doing these things, but is it really something that is involving our spirit within that? We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to have our spirit in there. Now, look at this. He was a man who had the Spirit of God in him. Now, you say, wait a minute, are you getting off on speaking in tongues and all that? No. The Bible talks about that. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy, the first chapter and verse 7. 2 Timothy, the first chapter in verse 7. God has not given us a spirit. He's given us a spirit. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. But He's given us a spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of might. He's given us a spirit of love. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. That's what God's given us. That's the spirit that He has blessed us with. Now, let me tell you something. Just in anything, you can deny the spirit if you want to. But He says, listen, God's given you everything you need to accomplish what you need to accomplish. He's given you what you need and what you can use and how it can be. He has given us a spirit. Now, please don't get it off and the speaking in tongues and all that has nothing to do with that. But God has given us a spirit within us to do the will of God. And if we're people that we want God in our heart, we want God in our life, it's going to trouble us when we're not able to do what's right. It's going to bother us when we can't use ourselves in a greater way for God. We're going to be looking for it. We're going to be searching for it. We're going to be trying to find it more than anything else. And just as the Roman writer said, we're more than conquerors. We're more than that. We're not like James talked about in James 1, verses 6 through 8, the unstable person. He used the illustration of a wave coming in, and your wave comes in, then it goes back out. It comes in, it goes back out. He said that's a double-minded man. You got your mind on this, you got the mind on that, and what can you do? Nothing. What are you going to be? You ever work with anybody that I have before? There were two people in that one body. You never knew what they were going to be until they got at work. If they came to work, they could be happy or they could be upset, mad, and grouchy. Some of the women are saying, that's my husband. Forget that one, okay? What we've got to do is to realize we've got to be a person that we're going to be that stable person. That person that you can depend on. That person you can trust in. That person that trusts in God because God is depending upon us. God's depending on you to be His hands, His feet, His mouth. God's depending on you to talk to other people about that. God is not in some miraculous way going to come down and grab people up and force them to serve Him. Force them to do His will. He wants us to be those people that we invite them to come. He wants us to be those people that we encourage people in what's right. That we're there when problems and difficulties come to lift people up and to help them to know what is good. So here we've got this spirit within us, just as Caleb had. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time mentioning his name. But look at this. Caleb challenges us today. Now, what I'm doing in this sermon is I'm talking about a man who used his love for God, his spirit with God, to cause him to stand up, even though others were there speaking against it, but he stood up for what was right and he did what was right. I want you to see Caleb as a man of God. I want you to see the spirit that he had within him, and I want you to have that same kind of spirit. There is not a person here that can't have the same spirit that Caleb had. He saw opportunities and he was willing to do it. Maybe the question we need to ask, is the spirit of Caleb alive today? Or is it the spirit of the 10 who said it can't be done? What kind of spirit do you have? Do you have a spirit that you can see that things can be accomplished and things can be done? Are you looking and saying, we can't do it? We don't have the money. We don't have this. We don't have that. Let me tell you something. You get that spirit of God that's willing to depend upon God, willing to trust in God, it'll help you. These problems that we have that come on us, and we all have them. You may be reeling right now because of all the problems that you've had this week. You know what those problems are for? To make you stronger. A person that lifts weights lifts something that is heavier than normal. Why? Because it builds them up, makes them stronger. We need those problems to help us to become stronger. And sometimes those problems are just things that divert us. We can't go this way, so we go around this way. We accomplish that. We accomplish what we need to accomplish, but we don't let those things stop us. We see the potential. We see the good. We see the great things that can be done, and we're not afraid to believe that God can do it through us. We need people today that will trust in God and depend upon God, just as Caleb did. Caleb was here, and all these people around him were saying, "We can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it." And he's standing up saying, "We can do it. With God's help, let us go right now and get it done." Brethren, we think too much. We need to act. We need to do something. We've met long enough. Let's go. Let's accomplish the thing that God wants us to accomplish. Do we see the great opportunities that we have here? Do we see great potential that we have here? I hope you do. And we need to talk to other people about the potential that we have. Problems are going to come. I understand that. You can't ignore them. You must deal with them. But let me tell you something. You deal with them in the right way. You deal with them as things that are going to make you stronger. Or you just say, "There's the problem. I'm going over here and I'm going around the problem." And we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish. We're going to do the things that God wants us to do. We need to be realistic enough to see what the difficulties, but we need to also have that Spirit of God enough within us that we're going to accomplish those things that need to be done. I've mentioned Caleb here standing up among all those people that were there, and all of them were saying, "We can't do it." But he said, "We can." Now, are you a Caleb? Again, are you one of the 10? Where are you at? Now, I didn't ask you where the elders were. They've got to ask themselves that. Where are you? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish in this so that you can have this? Is it realistic enough for you to say, "Listen, I'm not the best person in the world. I don't know all the scriptures. I don't know all these things. But let me tell you something. I'm going to depend on God and I'm going to trust in Him. And I'm going to do His will no matter what. I'm not going to give up." In Romans 8 and verse 31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God's on our side, what are we worried about? Can God topple governments? Yes, He has before. Can God change people? Yes, He has, and He's done it before. Can He still do that? Remember Isaiah 59 and verse 1? "Is the Lord's ear so heavy that He can't hear our prayers? Is the Lord's arm so short that He cannot save?" Do we serve the same God that Caleb served? Can we do what can't be done in the minds of some people? I'm suggesting to you that we can if we want to. We have the power to do that, and that power is there for us. Now, look at this passage. Philippians 4 and verse 13. We've all read it. A very simple passage. Look at it. It's there big enough for any, I can see that, you know. What is he trying to say here? What does he want us to understand? I can do all things. How many things? I can do all things through Christ. Well, I'm not going to be perfect in that. Did he say you was going to be perfect in him? Did he say you were going to be the best? See, we're still in this competition. I've got to be better than you. You've got to be better than me. That needs to be left out of Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If I rely on His strength, I can accomplish many things. I can do things that people think I cannot do. He had a spirit about Him that was fully in God. He trusted in Him. He depended on Him. Brethren, we've got to do that today. We come and play religion. We haven't got serious about this stuff yet. But if we ever do, we'll change the world. And if we don't change the world, at least I'm changed. I'm a different person. I'm living a different way. We've got to be like that. Can we have that same spirit that he had? Can we be that person that we're going to be so committed to God that we feel like we can do a lot of things? And we're not going to say, "I can't." But we say we will. And we try to use that in every way to work with God. Don't look at what you have, but look at God. Don't just look at the problems that you've got to deal with in your life and what you've got to do in trying to handle those problems. You be a person that says, listen, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I have that power. Look at Caleb. Look at what he did. Look at what he accomplished. What can you accomplish? Sometimes we look at other people. Well, they need to do this. They need to do that. Quit looking at other people. Go home and look at that old person in the mirror. Some of you may have to sneak up on it, but do it anyhow. And say, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's what we got to do. Today, it may be that you need to obey the gospel. You need to, you've already heard the word. You've probably already read the word. And you've heard it and you believe it. And so now you're going to act on that. That's what Caleb did. He heard what God wanted and he acted on it. We're to repent of our sins. We're to be immersed in water to have those sins washed and cleansed away. Acts 2 and all those verses through there. That's what we've got to do. And then when we're immersed in that water, we come out of that water as a person who's trusting in God now. It's not just that we've been washed, but we've been cleansed to be used by God. We are being used as a holy thing now for a holy purpose. And so we're going to use ourselves for that. Please come and do that today. If you're here as a Christian, I want to encourage you, listen, decide today, I'm going to do different. I'm